she'd wanted him in her bedroom. In truth, it had been a shocking and rather unpleasant surprise to find him waiting for her, lounging on her bed in his altogether. If she'd welcomed his advances, would she have screamed and chased him out with the fire iron? Not that Miss Gilmore and her parents had believed her, or even Minerva. No, all because she was that Lady Standen. Behind her, Thomas William, her father's former servant, was muttering as he unloaded the luggage to the curb. He paused and shot a wary glance at the plain door before them.
"Are you certain this is the right place, Miss Lucy?"
"This is Brook Street, is it not?" she replied as she tugged at her yellow gloves and checked to make sure her bonnet strings were properly tied.
"Yes,"
he answered, piling her hat box atop a trunk.
"And this is the house number. His Grace's butler told us where we might find the Duchess."
Thomas William shot a sceptical glance at the nondescript townhouse. His dark eyes narrowed.
"Yes, it is. But I don't like this. Not one bit. What with her summons and all this shilly-shallying about."
Lucy threw up her hands.
"Well, neither do I. But what am I to do? She is the Duchess."
Unfortunately, she would have liked to add.
"I don't put it past her high and mighty to be up to something,"
Thomas William was saying. One could argue that he'd muttered this to himself. Then again, he'd been with Lucy's family so long that he had no compunction about speaking his mind quite freely, especially to her.
"You are much too suspicious, Thomas William," she chided.
Not that she hadn't had her own qualms over the Duchess's sudden summons. Rather, her gracious invitation, as dear Clapp, Lucy's elderly companion, had urged her to refer to this great inconvenience of having to pack up everything she owned and bring her entire entourage to London. But now that they were here, and Lucy was about to beard the lioness in her own den, so to say, she took another deep breath and got back to crafting a litany of explanations and the accompanying apologies that might be necessary to extract them from whatever dreadful reckoning lay ahead. Because without the Duke of Hollandrake's favour, which in translation meant the Duchess's good graces, Lucy didn't know what she would do with her disreputable collection of dependents and servants. For without a home of her own, and very little money to speak of, she had no roof over her head other than the ones provided by her unlikely position as Lady Standen. Lost in thought and her own anxieties, she barely heard the door open, nor took much notice of the man who came down the steps in a great hurry, for she'd gotten quite used to the efficiency of the Duke's servants. But still, she mused, it was about time one of the footmen arrived to help poor Thomas William. What she hadn't imagined was that the fellow, in his expedience, wouldn't notice the great pile of mismatched luggage in his path, or that he would go tripping over it, landing in a heap near Thomas William. As he hit, the man let out a great oath, one that should never touch a lady's delicate ear. Then again, Lucy hardly cringed, for she'd heard such language most of her life, and now she had an entirely new set of worries.
"Oh, dear heavens!"
she gasped as she eyed the large man lying all akimbo. Whatever would she do if he had a broken bone? She could only imagine the Duchess's dismay over having one of her footmen put out of commission because of Lucy's luggage. Oh, yes, that would be the last and final straw, she had to imagine. But to her relief, the fellow righted himself quickly, shaking out his coat and drawing his shoulders in a taut, proud line.
"Thank goodness,"
she sighed, for he appeared quite in order.
"Oh, yes, my good man. So sorry for that,"
Lucy called over to him.
"Do you think you can manage those three boxes over there? They aren't as heavy as they appear."
Then she gathered up her courage, turned from the latest scene of her crimes, and went blithely up the stairs, as if she had been invited for tea and not this mysterious summons. But even as she got to the top step, she had the uneasy feeling of being shadowed, and being her father's daughter, she whirled around. And while she had half expected to find the footman standing there, holding her luggage as he ought, instead, she came nose to nose with a man who had every aspect of a ghost from her past. Except he was quite alive, very much so, for it was no footman who had come.